It's great to look out and see you all. Thank you for being here, for responding to the Spirit in your life, for making the journey here to be together, to be in community. I do want to mention that Pastor Addy is enjoying a well-deserved vacation. And we hope that she soaks in every bit of sunlight there is today and for the next series of days while she enjoys that very well-deserved vacation. Many of you know that this past Wednesday was the high holy day in Judaism called Yom Kippur. Well, for the first time in 3 decades, Rabbi Pinchas Goldschmidt, the chief rabbi in Moscow, was unable to prepare or lead services at the Choral Synagogue for Yom Kippur. You may know that Yom Kippur is the holiest of days in Judaism. It is the culmination of 10 days of individual and community repentance. And Rabbi Goldschmidt is usually involved in weeks of preparation for these high holy days. But this year, he and his wife felt they needed to leave Russia. As Rabbi Goldschmidt writes in the New York Times, and I quote, "This will be our first Yom Kippur in true exile from the place we called our home for 3 decades," end quote. That's because after Vladimir Putin's invasion of Ukraine, everything has shifted. Rabbi Goldschmidt explains that Putin's authoritarianism has become intensified. Protesters are being arrested, independent media outlets are being silenced, and priests, imams, and rabbis are being pressured by the government to support the Russian military. Word came from the Russian government to the century-old synagogue building where Rabbi Goldschmidt presided that he was expected to support the war or else. This would not be the first time pressure from the Russian government would come down to this Moscow synagogue. It happened back in 1933 when a predecessor of Rabbi Goldschmidt, Rabbi Medalia, whose preaching was being monitored by the Russians, was later arrested and shot by the secret police. For as long as human communities have existed, there have been exiles, those who have been forced to leave a particular place or who have been banned from entering a particular place. It happened in 586 BCE when the Babylonians stormed Jerusalem, surrounding the region, carrying off to Babylon the best and the brightest Jews. while leaving behind the weak, the vulnerable, and the poor. To survive in a place that had been entirely decimated. This morning's reading from Jeremiah comes in the form of a letter to those who are in exile in Babylon. And naturally, all the hopes and aspirations of the Jews who were living in Babylon were aimed at returning home. And eventually, that return to Jerusalem would happen. But in the meantime, writes Jeremiah, those exiles were to seek the welfare of the city of Babylon and to do everything that they could to make life more humane for themselves and for all the citizens of Babylon. Even though you feel like a stranger in a strange land, wrote Jeremiah, I want you to live as if you are home. Centuries later, when Jesus was making his way to Jerusalem, he was going through a region. And the scripture suggests that it was an in-between place. The location is not clear. However, upon entering that village, 10 lepers called out to Jesus. They had to keep their distance because they were excluded from the main flow of society. Yes, they were exiles. They were considered contaminated people, often forced to live in isolation. And many lepers formed colonies. But never were they fully included, never fully embraced, never fully loved. That is until Jesus pronounced that they should go and show themselves to the priests, because Jesus had declared them clean, made them clean, made it possible for them to rejoin the larger society. And for those lepers, Jesus had bridged the gap between being in exile and being at home. Exile is a very harsh reality. It is usually associated with how one group forces another group out of its natural and rightful place, limiting their access to the whole of society. Vladimir Putin's apparent goal, if he had things go his way, would be to annex all of Ukraine. In reality, he wants to force Ukrainians into exile. He wants to strip them of their independence and their rightful place in the world. No doubt. Somewhere along life's way, you also have experienced exile. It may come in a very mild version. It could be that friends have decided that you no longer fit into their social network. Or you may have experienced work colleagues who, for whatever reason, no longer exude warmth and welcome, but instead leave you feeling isolated and confused. Some of you have been left exiled by your families. And there are fellow citizens who, for example, have come to believe that same-sex marriage should no longer come with all the rights of any other marriage. We live in a land where people experience exile. And we know what it's like. We no longer are welcomed. We are no longer invited. We're no longer included. We're no longer valued. Just like the Jewish exiles who were carried off to an unfamiliar land, cut off from their homeland, cut off from the entirety of their people, customs and way of life, you and I know the hurt and the pain and the disorientation that comes with exile. Which is even more reason that when you and I are feeling that, feeling excluded, feeling left out, that we should continue to seek goodness, that we should seek the common good, and we should work with those who are feeling hurt and those who are marginalized. For the most part, leprosy is no longer the dreaded disease that it once was. But today, there are other kinds of diseases, social diseases that seek to divide, that seek to diminish, and which seek to disrupt God's vision of wholeness and oneness and community. And even when we are excluded, exiled, we are still called to live out a commitment to love and serve others. That's what makes Christians distinct. Of the 10 lepers who were made whole by Jesus, only one returned to him to give Jesus thanks. Only one leper, a Samaritan, an outsider, a foreigner, only he understood what it took for Jesus to make him whole. To comprehend this act on Jesus' part, to span the divide between outsiders and everyone else, to
to cross that divide between Samaritan and Jew. So maybe this work of coming together in our communities doesn't happen by focusing on differences. Maybe it happens when we realize we're all the same, that we understand what it means to be exiled and left out, that we understand what it means to be separated, when what we really want is to live together. And that is good news. Amen.